Each year at the conclusion of the Easter season, we have this series of great feast days, solemnities, and today we conclude this run with the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ, a day that we proclaim publicly to the world that what Christ did, offering his body and blood, is for the salvation of the world. Our readings point to this. Melchizedek, a priest in the book of Genesis, a priest of God the Most High, yet not of the family of Aaron, not of the Levites, because he predated those. Abram is the father of these families, the traditional priestly families of the Israelite people. And Abram doesn't even have the name Abraham yet. Just before this, some of his people had been kidnapped and taken away, and he went after them against great odds, and he was successful and victorious. And so as he's coming back from that military excursion with all of his relatives safe, he comes across Melchizedek. Melchizedek comes to him offering thanksgiving and offering bread and wine. Abram responds by offering a tithe in thanksgiving to Melchizedek, offering 10% of everything. Melchizedek is a precursor of Christ, comes before Christ, but points to Christ at the very same time. St. Paul speaks on what he has received from Christ. This is not something that he learned. It is not something that the other apostles gave him, but it was given to him directly from Christ. And he tells us that Jesus took bread at the Last Supper. He broke it, saying, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Offering the wine, he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." These words are so familiar to us because they are similar to what we say every Mass in the consecration. When the bread and the wine receive the word of God and are no longer the bread and the wine, the very substance, transubstantiation, the very substance of what they are has been changed. They still look like bread, still taste like bread, looks like wine, tastes like wine, but at the very core of what it is no longer bread and wine. It is now the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And I think we're all familiar with the gospel account, the feeding of the crowd with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Jesus is with the 12. 5,000 men, it says. Probably 12, 15,000 people at least. And they all have enough to eat from these 2 fish and these 5 loaves. The material continually pointing to the spiritual. Christ was concerned about the material needs. He is concerned for what that crowd needed. But he's more concerned with their spiritual needs. He is concerned about our physical needs. But he is more concerned with our eternal salvation. And so he chooses to stay with us in the Eucharist, despite the abuse that he knew that would come down through the ages, despite knowing that he would be often abandoned, he would be ignored, he chooses to remain with us. This doctrine has got to have an effect in our lives, both the spiritual life and our physical lives. We experience the Eucharist every week, even daily if we so choose. But do we often reflect not on what it is we are receiving, but on who it is we are receiving? The meaning of the Eucharist. It is real, and it is a mystery. The Last Supper, Easter Sunday, Good Friday, these all took place in a concrete time in history, and yet they continue today outside of time, in God's eternal presence. At our Mass, we make the sacrifice of Calvary present. It is not a new sacrifice. Christ doesn't die again and again at every Mass. He did that once for all time. But rather, we enter into that divine reality. The gifts that we offer, not just the bread and the wine, but all of who we are, our joys, our celebrations, our time, our talent, our treasures, our sacrifices and our sorrows, everything that we have, everything that we are, we bring up and we offer them to God. When we use the first Eucharistic prayer, it puts it this way. Almighty God, we pray your angel may take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven. Then as we receive from this altar the sacred body and blood of your Son, let us be filled with every grace and blessing. We offer up to God these material things, and we receive the infinite, the immaterial, the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, the food of eternal life. This mysterious fact of our faith lives, going back and forth between the material and the spiritual, going back and forth between time and eternity, bread and wine, the body and the blood of Christ. And all of this comes together to impact our physical lives, our normal everyday life. We see the disciples today that are gathered with Christ in this deserted place. The desert is a lifeless place. There's no water. It's a wilderness. It's a place we probably wouldn't enjoy being for very long. It is a place, though, that Jesus often spoke of. It is where Satan came to tempt him for 40 days before he began his public ministry. It is where the good shepherd goes in search of the lost sheep. It is where the disciples begin to learn how to be shepherds. They are gathered with Christ in this deserted place. But as evening falls, they come to him and they say, "Disperse the crowd. Let them go find food. Let them go find housing. Let them go take care of themselves." They think that they, in this wilderness, are beyond God's providence. Even he can't reach them in that place. But Jesus drew the crowds there for a reason, and it wasn't just to disperse them. He brought them there that he might draw them closer to himself and into a tighter community themselves. The disciples thought that they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. With that many people, nothing. But in reality, they had Christ. And in Christ, they had everything that they would ever need. And that is our lesson for this solemnity. We all can find ourselves out in the wilderness. We can all think that we are beyond God's providence. We can think that we are all alone. I can think that my sin is too serious. My sin is too deep. God can't really love me when he knows what I've done. The problem isn't that God cannot love me. The problem is we have a hard time loving God. We even have a hard time loving ourselves. So if you find yourself in a deserted place, don't let anger or fear or anxiety keep you there. Don't let these things get the better of you. Know that Christ is there. If all you have is a couple of fish, if all you have is 1 loaf of bread, what God is asking of is a generous heart to offer to him what we do have, even if materially it is nothing. When we offer it to God, it becomes infinite, and he will return it to us, multiplied 100-fold. So as we prepare to enter into this mystery of the Eucharist, on this feast of the body and blood of Christ, let us close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, through the graces of the Mass, increase my awareness and appreciation for the sacrifice that you have made of your life to the Father on my behalf. Set on my heart a longing to be united with you through the precious gift of Holy Communion. May I be a Christian who gratefully and joyfully proclaims your death because it brought me to new life. May I rejoice in a gathering together with my brothers and sisters in the Lord each Sunday to worship you, honor you, and give you thanks. And may I leave Mass with an urgent sense that I have been sent to share the wonders of your love with a broken world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Announcements. Bingo will be held this Monday at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. The youth group will be giving a presentation of their mission trip to Florida this Wednesday, June 26th at 7 o'clock p.m. Refreshments and snacks will be served. All are invited. Next Sunday, June 30th, all are invited to the farewell party for Father Jim in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's. Script will be sold after Mass.